Parshas Bereishis. In this Sedra, we have the incident with Cain and Hevel. It says, Vehi miketz yamim, after a certain time, Vayavo Cain mipri adama min chal Hashem. Cain brought an offering of the fruit to Hashem. Vehevel, hevi gam hu mibechor sono mechel behen. Hevel also brought an offering, but he brought of the choice flock. Then the pasuk says, "Vayasha Hashem el Hevel vel minchaso." Hashem turned to Hevel and his offering, "Vel Kain vel minchaso lo sha." But to Kain and to his offering, he did not turn. So the Chasam Sofer is bothered here by the extraneous lashon. What's this that Hashem turned to Cain to his offering, to Hevel and his offering, but the Cain and his offering did not turn? What's this? He could have said very simply, Hashem turned to Hevel's offering and not to Cain's. Not to him and his offering, him and his offering. So he answers with the following analogy. He says, imagine a king, and somebody came to give the king a gift. Now, if, let's say, the person that was bringing the gift was a very lowly individual, but the gift he was bringing was nice, it's probable the king would not accept that. Because, oh, who's this lowly person coming to me to give a gift? Likewise, it was the opposite. The person might be important, but the gift was something very small and inadequate. The king also would be upset. What's this nothing that this person's bringing? I'm the king. I have to bring something important to the king. So, in order to be accepted by the king, the person bringing has to be important, and the thing he is bringing also must be important. So, too, we find this is what the pasuk is hinting at over here, says the Chasam Sofer. That with Hevel, he was a tzaddik, and not only that, what he brought was also something chashuv, as we saw, the flock. On the other hand, Cain was the exact opposite. Not only was he nothing, but also what he brought was just some fruit, also nothing. And that's why Hashem didn't accept Cain's offering. And therefore, that's the lashon. The pasuk's mentioning the person, Hevel, and his offering, because those are the two things which are important for Hashem to accept. The person has to be righteous, as Hevel was, and also his offering must be important. As opposed to Cain, where he wasn't chashuv, and his offering wasn't either. Therefore, mention is made of him and his offering, to explain why Hashem didn't accept. Fine. So it comes out that the Chasam Sofer depicts these two brothers being at opposite ends of the spectrum. We have Hevel being the tzaddik and Cain being the rasha. However, this is not immediately seen from a midrash. The midrash says, also in the Sedra, it says on the pasuk, "Vayomer Cain al Hevel achiv." It says, Cain said to Hevel achiv, he said something to his brother, but it doesn't say what in the pasuk. It doesn't say what. And the pasuk then continues, and then Cain got up and killed Hevel. But it says that Cain said to Hevel, but it doesn't say what he said to him. So the midrash fills it in for us. It says, what did he say? That there was an argument going between the two. Cain wanted, they wanted to split the world, right? They were the only ones around, so they wanted to split the world. Cain wanted to take the ground, all the karka, the ground in the world, and Hevel, all the metaltalin, all the movables. Okay? So, Cain then, they did so. So Cain said, excuse me, Hevel, you're standing on my ground. I took the ground. Hevel said, excuse me, Cain, you're wearing my clothes. I took the movables. That's the clothing. Cain said, get off my ground, fly. Now, you're not supposed to be standing on my ground. Get up and fly. And Cain says, oh yeah? So Hevel said, oh yes, take off your clothing. It's mine. You should be wearing my clothing. So that's the midrash. What happened? And that's the pasuk. Then the next pasuk, and Cain got angry at Hevel and he killed him. That was the background to their machloikas. So it seems from here that even though Cain was not the biggest tzaddik, you know, making his brother, you know, jump in the air, he's on his land, but we see from here that Hevel was not the biggest tzaddik either, right? He also wanted every single thing, every even the shirt off his brother's back, literally, right? Take off his back, it's my clothing. So, of course, it's this contradiction to the Chasam Sofer. Because here we see that Hevel was also not a big tzaddik, just like Cain wanted the land. He wanted the movable, and we don't see Hevel being this big tzaddik that the Chasam Sofer portrayed. However, we see the Kli Yakar, a different perspective, this Midrash. He claims that the Midrash is not to be understood literally, but there's a deep, much deeper idea over here. That Cain, when he wanted the ground, didn't mean literally the actual ground that we walk on. What it meant was, he wanted Olam Hazeh, meaning ground is not movable. So too, physical things in this world are not movable. They're enjoyed in this world, but you can't take them with you, they say. You can't take your all the things a person might amass in this world, you can't take it to the next world. So that's represented by karka, ground. Ground is immovable. So Cain wanted physical things in this world. Hevel, on the other hand, he wanted Olam Haba. He wanted movables. I mean, he wanted things you could take with you to the next world. What is that? Torah and mitzvahs. So that was the argument. Cain wanted every single physical thing in this world. Right? He was totally involved with the physical. Hevel, on the other hand, he also wanted, but he wanted only spiritual things. He wanted every bit of Olam Haba he can possibly get. So now, we are no contradiction anymore. Rit the Chasam Sofer. Hevel was a tzaddik. Yes, he wanted, but what did he want? He wanted Olam Haba. That's what a person should want. Cain was a Rasha, he wanted Olam Haza. So now the Chasam Sofer fits in perfectly with this Midrash. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ezeu Ashir. Who is the rich person? Hasameach bechelko. Somebody who is happy with his lot. Meaning, before Shem explained, that true happiness is can only be achieved, somebody who's really rich, who can be happy, is somebody who is satiated. Right? As soon as a person feels that he's missing something, he's lacking, so then this lack causes discomfort. He's not happy, right? He feels missing. Oh, I wish I had this and I don't have it. So that's what causes unhappiness. So therefore, Zeu Ashir, the real rich person, is the one who's Sameach Bechelko. He doesn't need anything else. He doesn't want. He's happy with what he has. Also, Chazal tell us, in fact, that the more a person has, the more he wants as well. Right? Mishieshlo Meya Rotze Matayim. If you have 100, you want 200. That's human nature. Therefore, if a person follows his nature, always feels that he's missing, he can never really be happy. In fact, Rabbi Rav Lefshlita, he said once, that really, if you're based on this Chazal, the richer you are, the worse off you really are. Why? Because we said, somebody who has 100 wants 200. So let's say you have a person, he's poor, he just has 100. So what does he want? 200. How much is he missing? 100. Right? He has 100. He wants 200. He's missing 100. A rich person, let's say, has 1 million. So, what is he missing? He wants 2 million. So he's missing how much? 1 million. So who's worse off? The rich person's missing $1 million. The poor person missing $100. So who's worse? Worse off? The rich person. So, the idea is therefore to be Sameach Bechelko. I'm not missing anything. That's very hard, as we said, human nature is that you always want more, and you feel that you're missing something. And that's what leads to being an unhappy individual. However, we find a very interesting thing, and that is that this whole concept of it being undesirable to want more, because that, we said, the more you want, the more you feel a lacking, and that's not a rich person. Yet we don't find that by spiritual things. Right? We are told that we should run after spiritual things. And whatever we gain, we should want more and more and more and more. We should want more Torah, learn more Torah, and want more mitzvahs. Right? So that we have to understand what's the difference. Right? Why is it that a feeling a lack of gashmias makes a person unhappy, and that's not a rich person. Whereas when it comes to spiritual things, we should want more. and we should desire more. And that doesn't make a person unhappy. But why? If I feel I'm missing more Torah, so I should be unhappy. And if I run after it and then get it, I should want more and more and more, and then that should make me unhappy. So why is it when it comes to spiritual things, it doesn't make me unhappy, whereas by physical things it does? So I think the answer is based on something that Beis HaLevi said. Beis HaLevi says in Parshas Bereishis, he says that the main problem when it comes to gashmias, physical things, is that the pleasure a person receives when he acquires the gashmias is never what he thought it would be. It's always a letdown. He thinks, well, if I have this car, boy, then I'll be happy. Wow, he imagines himself driving this in this car, you know, this brand new, late model car, whatever. And then when he gets it, he's happy, but then it was not what he thought it would be. And therefore, it's a downer. It's it's not what I thought. And this is not necessarily conscious, could be in a subconscious mind. But he feels like a lack. Why? Because it's not what he dreamed, not what he thought it would be. And therefore, what happens? He says, okay, I guess I should buy a more fancy car. Right, a fancier car. Then I'll be happy. And then he works towards a fancier car. And he gets it. And then he thinks, wow, then he can imagine what that would be to get that. And then he gets that, and also a letdown, not what he thought. And he goes on. And that's what how most people are. They just go from one gashmius thing to the next, to the next, to the next. A fancier car, a fancier house. Why? Because they're always let down. And being let down is uncomfortable. It's not happiness, being constantly let down. But that's the way gashmius is. You go from one thing to another, and you're constantly let down. As opposed to ruchnius, that's the difference. Where ruchnius, when it comes to spiritual endeavors, it's the opposite. A person also feels, oh, I wish I had that, did that mitzvah, or knew this mesechet, and learned. But then when a person does it, it's not a letdown. It's even better than he thought it was. So that doesn't make him unhappy. It makes him happy. He still wants more because he wants more of this great thing, but not because he doesn't want more because he was let down. He wants more because this is great. This is better than I thought. I have to give the following mashal. You have Reuben and Shimon. They go into a casino, and they both put money down on a table to make a bet on something, and the roulette wheel or whatever, and what happens, Reuven doubles his money. Shimon loses. What happens? Both Reuven and Shimon put down money again. What happens? Again, Reuven doubles his money. Shimon again loses. So once again, Reuven puts down money again. Shimon, same thing happens. Reuven doubles money again. And Shimon again loses. What happens? Again, they put down money. Now, let's examine these two people. Both these two people, Reuven and Shimon, are putting down their money time and again. But can we say they're exactly the same? No, totally the opposite. I'm reading. Reuven's putting down money. Why? Because he goes, wow, this is great. Every time I put down money, I double it. So he's putting it down again and again and again because this is wonderful. Right? Shimon is putting down money also constantly. But not because he's so happy because he's double. No, he's losing his money. So why is he putting down? Because he thinks next time will be different. Now I was let down. I didn't win. But maybe this time I'm going to win. And again he puts down, and again he loses. Okay, but maybe this time, he's putting down money, but it's because he's constantly losing. Right? He's let down, but he's putting it maybe next time. That's the difference in gashmius and ruchnius. Right? By physical things, a person wants more, and he gets it, and then again he wants more. He's constantly going from thing to thing. Why? Not because he's happy. The opposite. He's let down. He goes, maybe next time. Maybe next time I'll be happy. And then again he sees it's not what he thought it would be. And again and again and again. Whereas by ruchnius, it's the opposite. A person also wants more and more and keeps going, but not because he's let down. The opposite. He says, this is wonderful. He says, better than I thought. And therefore, he wants more and more of the good thing. That's the difference between the two. Do you see this idea with mashal is given by Rav Shalom Shvadron, that's all. Says there was once a person who walks into a chasana and he says, oh, I'm hungry. And he grabs some food, and he's grabbing food here and there, and what does he do with the food? He's sticking it in his pockets. What's in this pocket, that pocket. He's a wild lady, he says, oh, I'm hungry. Goes to the next chasana, takes some food, puts in other pockets of his, this pocket, that pocket, fills. And he goes to the next chasnep, and he's constantly, I'm hungry. Somebody says, what do you mean you're hungry? What's going on with you? He goes, I don't know, I keep taking food, I'm hungry. So he said, you fool. Of course you're hungry. You're taking the food and sticking it in your pocket. You're not supposed to take the food and stick it in your pocket. You're supposed to put the food in your mouth and swallow it and digest it. Not put it in your pockets. You can put potato tomorrow food in your body. You're never going to be satiated if you do that. So he says, so too, a person is made up of goof and neshama. Physical body, that's the physical materialist, and the neshama. So what happens? The person's in this world to collect Torah and mitzvahs. That's what he said. That's what makes a person happy. And that's what satiates a person, because he gets more and more of the good thing. Well, what? That's if you feed the neshama. But by going after physical things, it's like feeding the goof, right? It's like putting things in your pocket. Right? It's like the clothing is the clothing of the body. So too, the body is the clothing of neshama. So by going after material things, it's like sticking things in your pocket. You'll never be happy. Right? That's not going to help. You can never achieve happiness that way, because you're not feeding the thing that is really hungry and satiating it. You're running after the gashmi. On the other end of the spectrum is a maisa. He also brings down that there's once a big tzaddik. His name was the Ohel Davi. And he was a big tzaddik, a very, very, very poor individual. And once the Chasam Sofer had the opportunity to visit him. And the Chasam Sofer walks in and he sees this Rav, the Ohel Davi, and he's sitting there and he happens to be eating. And he sees this the poverty. He couldn't believe that a person could live like this. What amazed him most was his eating utensils. His spoon was like this piece of wood that vaguely represented a spoon, and that's what he used to eat with. Chasam Sofer was amazed. So he walked over to this to the table. He picked up the spoon and started turning it this way and that, examining it, and he couldn't believe it that a person could be so poor and live and eat with something like this. So as he was looking at it in amazement, the old David noticed this. He saw the Chasam Sofer looking at his spoon. So what did he think in his tmimistic way? He thought that the Chasam Sofer fell in love with his spoon and wanted it. That's the only thing he could imagine. So he saw, oh, he wants my spoon. He loves it so much. You know what? So he got up and he says, excuse me, you know, I see you want my spoon so badly. Don't be over on those sach mode of desiring what your fellow Jew had. Don't worry. I'm giving it to you as a matana gemura. It's a gift. Take it. It's yours. Don't be over on those sach mode. Here we have Chasam Sofer was looking at the spoon because he could amaze a person could eat with this. Meanwhile, he thought he was happy with what he had. They thought this was the greatest spoon in the world, you know. And then he obviously, Chasam Sofer wanted it. That's what he's looking at it for. He couldn't imagine he was looking at it. He couldn't dream a person could eat like that. So here's a person that the ikar by him is the spiritual, not the physical. And therefore, we see that was the difference between Cain and Hevel, right? That Cain was after the physical things in this world, and Hevel, no, he was after the spiritual endeavors. And spiritual endeavors, those are things which really fill a person up, because as we said, he wants more and more and more. He's not satiated, but positively, like the guy in the casino that's constantly winning. Because he doesn't, as we said, by gashmis, he doesn't conjure up, wow, if I only had this, imagine how great it would be. He doesn't get that, and then is let down. That's by gashmius. The gashmius, the person has these dreams of what if he only had this thing, and what it would be like, and then he's let down. The question is, though, why is that the case? In other words, why is it that by spiritual things, we're not let down, and by physical things, we are? So I think the answer is very simple. That is the Yetzer Hara. Right? What does the Yetzer Hara want from us? To go after physical things or spiritual? Obviously physical. He doesn't want us to do Torah and mitzvahs. So therefore, when it comes to the spiritual things, he plays it down. He doesn't make you think, wow, what it would be like if I only did this mitzvah. He doesn't want you to do the mitzvah. So mainly he plays it down, and then when you do it, you say, wow, this is better than I thought. Whereas by physical things, that's where the Yetzer Hara wants you to go after. So therefore, he fancies it up, fancy wrapping and bows, and then makes it look, wow, if you had this, boy, will you be happier? And then a person therefore is attracted by it and goes by it, and then he's let down and says, no, it's not what I thought it was, because the Yetzer Hara played it up. He's doing that, and that's what he wants you to run after. But unfortunately, it's the way people are. They run after the, they get faked by the Yetzer Hara, fooled by the Yetzer Hara constantly, running after them. They think, wow, this is exciting. And once they get it, they let down, and they go to the next thing, and then they never learn from their experience. So that's our lesson from all of this. So a person has to learn from his mistakes. See, look how when we're running after gadgets, we're never happy, we always want more. And take a lesson that's therefore not, that's feeding our pockets, that's not going to do the trick, it's not going to satiate us. What's going to satiate us, we run after the ruchnis, because that the Yetzer Hara doesn't play up, and therefore whatever you gain in ruchnis is always a machai, you always want more, and want more positively, because it's better than you imagine. And therefore, it's a shame if we continue in our desires for the right things, for the ruchnius thing of things, which is our real purpose in this world, Hashem should crown our efforts and bring us the final days of redemption, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mhira v'yameinu.